Sure. Okay. Kof Dalad Adar Sheni, Sunday the 31st of March, Rabbi Alan Kimchi, Breaking the Middle Matzah. This week's Torah Way has been sponsored by Lechvod Simchas HaNesuim of Rafi Wiesenfeld and Esti Shonto, Shiskam Nitz Hashem, B'Simon Tov Mazel Tov.
Sorry. Always a pleasure to be here, and today for the first time as a guest, rather than a resident. I've done it for several years. I'm now a foreigner. That's right. As some of you might know, 2 weeks ago we went to Aliyah, and here I am back again, just for a few days, but a very brief visit, but not brief enough for Dudi Iskovich not to find out about it. Texts me and says, Sunday morning, you're going to give a Torah away, and I don't say no. It's always a great pleasure, and as always, I give compliments to the organizers of this wonderful program of Kavod HaTorah and this lovely Beis HaMedrash here. This is a wonderful Mokum Torah, and these are exceptional opportunities to share Divrei Torah together with Mevakshei Torah. As I'm coming from Yerushalayim, I thought maybe I'd start off just with a brief thought about Yerushalayim, just to bring a little bit of the atmosphere of Yerushalayim back with me. As I say, I've only been there 2 weeks, so I can't claim to be a vatik. I'm not really a veteran, but I've learned on which side of the road they drive and how to negotiate my way through various organizational issues. The word Yerushalayim itself doesn't appear in the Chumash anywhere. Of course, it appears in Tanakh, in the Nach, it appears many hundreds of times. In the Chumash itself, it doesn't appear. And Chazal say that actually the Torah uses a code word when it wants to refer to Yerushalayim. There is a word that is used repeatedly, and that is the word ha-mokim. Ha-mokim. Whenever the Torah uses the word ha-mokim, right? When Avraham Avinu is going to the Akedah, and it says, Vayar es ha-mokim me-rochik, and he sees the har, where he's going to do the Akedah, the ha-mokim is Yerushalayim, right? Sholosh poem b'ashono yiroiko, zechurcha el ha-mokim asha yivcha Hashem alekecho, aliyah l'regel is ha-mokim, and many, many references, that the definitive place. Right, Yaakov Avinu lies down and has a dream about the Malachim going up and down the ladder. Vayishkav ba mokim, the place. Every time it's the definitive place, that definitive place is Yerushalayim. And of course it has a double meaning, because Hamokim is also the Ribbono Shel Olam. Right? Hamokim is the place, and it is the Ribbono Shel Olam. Right? Hamokim Yinachem Eschem is a reference to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So it is a word which has multi-leveled powerful meanings, and that is Yerushalayim. But Chazal later on are curious about the etymology, the origins of the word Yerushalayim. First of all, it's important to know that when it's written in the Tanakh, even though we pronounce it Yerushalayim, it's written Yerushalem. It's only written with one yud, a yud in the beginning, but later on it's Shin Lamed Mem, it's not Shin Lamed Yud Mem. Right. Although Yerushalayim itself, we pronounce it Yerushalayim, it's a Greek sieve, and Yerushalayim, of course, is in Hebrew language, it's a dual form, like Yodayim, Einayim, Raglayim, the Ayim connection is a dual connection, and Tosfos refers it to Yerushalayim Shalmala, Yerushalayim Shalmata, but actually the duality of Yerushalayim is built into the word itself, according to the Medrash Chazal, which I want to share with you. So Chazal say that the word Yerushalayim comes from Sefer Bereishis. That actually there were two people in Sefer Bereishis who had a special connection to Yerushalayim. The first one was Malki Tzedek Melech Sholem. So Malki Tzedek Melech Sholem, he called the place Sholem. That was the name he gave to that place, says the Medrash. Right? We don't know actually anything about Malki Tzedek Melech Sholem from the text of the Chumash. He has a one-line entrance. We never heard of him before. We never hear of him again. But Chazal say that this was a name of Shem ben Noach, and he had established himself in a place which would later become Yerushalayim. And everybody knows that he established there a type of a yeshiva. Yeshiva Shem Va'iva. We don't know exactly what went on in that yeshiva. I'm not sure where they went collecting money from for the yeshiva, or what their syllabus was, or which Talmud they were learning. I'm not sure exactly. There's a whole debate among discussion among the Mefarshim. what was being taught in the yeshiva of Shem Va'eva. The Pashtus, it was Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach in all its details and all its applications. They already had that Torah of Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. According to the Orachayim HaKadosh, he says the Maseir of the Mekubalim is that not only did they have Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, but they also had, like in Gan Eden, there was the Eitz HaDas, which was of course the problem, but there was also the Eitz HaChayim. And Eitz HaChayim was a type of original spiritual Kabbalistic knowledge, which was also being taught as Arachayim HaKadosh in Yeshiva Shem Va'eva. So they were teaching these this type of Torah, pre-Matan Torah. The other person who names Yerushalayim is Avram Avinu, the end of the Akedah. Like, what does he say? That this is Har Hashem Yireh. He says, Yireh and Yeroeh, no? Hashem Yireh, Har Hashem Yeroeh. Right, there's a whole drush in Masechet Chagiga about Yireh Yeroeh, about seeing and being seen. Yeroeh calls Zechurcha as Pnei Hashem Erekecha, right? The mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel is to be seen. Al Kolponim says, the Medrash, Kaviyochel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a dilemma. What should he name this place? Should he follow the name of Shem and call it Sholeh? Should he follow the name of Avram and call it Yiroh? What should he do? What name should be given to this town, Yerushalayim, which is going to become the center of Ruchnius, L'dori Dora Ad Bias Kel Tzedek? This is a significant name. So what name should he use? This is the question posed in the Medrash Chazal. So he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to combine the two words, Yiroh and Sholeh. And Yiroh and Sholeh, how do you combine words? You combine them with a Vav. In Lashon HaKodesh, it's only the letter Vav that combines words, right? So Yiroh, the word, the Aleph and the Hey of Yiroh became a Vav. It's the same gematria. Aleph Hey becomes a Vav, right? Yud Resh Aleph Hey becomes Yud Resh Vav. And that Vav connects it to Sholeh, so it becomes Yerushalem. Yud Resh Vav, Shin Lamed Mem. That is the etymology, the origin of Yerushalayim, combining the Torah of Shem with the Yiroh of the Akedah, of Avraham Avinu. Okay, I think that's a very nice and elegant, if you like, interpretation.
Why not the other way around?
I beg your pardon?
Why not the other way around?
Why not the other way around?
Sholeim was there first, so it should be Sholeim.
Okay, that's actually, I did think about that question. I'm not sure I'm taking questions at the moment, but it is a good question. It is an interesting question, and I think that there is actually a meaning to this. Let me just drill down a bit deeper into this idea of Chazal. This isn't just a play on words.
Yiroh comes first.
The answer is that actually, Mo Hashem Elokecha Shol Mimcha Ki'im LeYiroh, that Yiroh is the primary stage. Sholeim is the secondary stage. Thank you. That's exactly what I was going to say. That Yiroh and Sholeim, Yiroh has to come first, even though chronologically it came second, right? Shem was before Avraham Avinu, but conceptually and in practice, in terms of Avodas Hashem, the Yiroh is the Mafteach. The Yiroh comes first. After the Yiroh, you can have the Sholeim. So what is the Yiroh and the Sholeim? The Yiroh and the Sholeim is actually two different dimensions of Avodas Hashem. And let me just briefly explain this. I haven't got all so much time, but I'll just touch on it a little bit. I still want to get to breaking the middle matter for a moment, but I just wanted to bring this from Yerushalayim, because I was thinking a lot about this. That actually, Yiroh and Sholeim are, in a sense, opposite approaches to Avodas Hashem. Because Yiroh, as we saw from the Akedah, it is a situation where a person is mevatel himself completely. Avraham Avinu reached the zenith, the highest level of bitul atzma. He was mevatel his machshavas and his hargoshas, his thoughts, and everything he ever knew in his whole life, he was mevatel. In order to do what? To do the Ratzon Hashem. In other words, when one engages in a mitzvah, in Avodas Hashem, through the mode of Yiroh, one is mevatel. It's irrelevant what you think and what you feel and what you know and what you understand. It all goes out of the window. The essence of Yiroh is Ata Yodati Ki Yirei Elokim Ata. Why? Because Avraham Avinu was willing to engage in something which contradicted every fibre of his body and every thought in his brain and every hargosha in his heart. He went against everything, and that's the ultimate hero. Sholem, in a sense, is exactly the opposite. What does Sholem mean? Sholem means an avodas Hashem, which is equally valid, which means every person has unique kaichas, unique thought patterns, unique ideas, unique energies, unique assets. Whatever it is, a person has what you've been given by HaKadosh Baruch Hu is unique to you. And the Aveda is to use your unique talents, Hashem Shammai, to use it for Klal Yisrael, to use it for Avodas Hashem. And there, from the Sholem perspective, it's all about you. It's all about who are you? What is your real uniqueness? What are you good at? Right? What is your great kayach in this world? That is a question that every man and woman has to ask themselves. I've got a certain uniqueness. How can I use my uniqueness in the best way possible? That is the avoda of Sholem. But in a sense, it's diametric opposite to Yiro, because Yiro means you are irrelevant. Sholem means you are the Ikka. So in actual fact, the combination of Shem and Avram isn't just a play on words. It's two different types of avodas Hashem, which have to be harmonized with each other. And everybody needs both of these mahalchim. Everybody needs a mahalech of Yiro at a certain point, simply to do the Ratzon Hashem without any cheshbonos, where it's irrelevant what your own uniqueness is. And then another mahalech, which is, right, how am I going to dedicate my kochos? What kochos do I really have? What assets do I have? What abilities do I have? What opportunities do I have? That is the Sholem. So Shem was teaching Shleimus. Everybody has to reach their own Shleimus. Avram was saying, forget Shleimus. Just do the Ratzon Hashem. No one's interested in your Shleimus. What we're interested in is following the Ratzon Hashem. And what is the truth? The truth is Yerushalayim. And that's why it's Lai. That's why it's a dual form, because it is a dual. Avodas Hashem requires this duality to be harmonized in the best way possible. And in actual fact, this was in the schools of Balei Musa, the differences between different schools in Balei Musa often depended on whether they put more emphasis on the Yira or more emphasis on the Sholem. To put more emphasis on the Sholem was Gadlus HaOdom, use your keichas, you are the most important thing. You know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put you in this world for a purpose, a unique purpose. That is a Gadlus HaOdom approach. That's the Sholem approach. And the Yira approach is complete bitulayesh, complete hisbatlus. And that is all built into the word Yerushalayim. And that's my first of our Torah for this evening, a small gift from Yerushalayim. Bruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam, Shachar Livrei. Different time, I'm in a different time zone actually, yes. But everybody this morning has been of a different time zone. Okay. Since we're between Purim and Pesach, I also want to share with you one of my favorite ideas from the Vilna Gaon, which I enjoyed very much. I couldn't remember whether I've said it before in Torah way. If I have, then this is Chazara. Chazara is a good thing, right? Mm-hmm. Chazara is not bad. Well, I must tell you, in the yeshiva where I grew up, the Miri Yeshiva, I was told that after you've learned something four times, then you can call it Chazara. The first four times is the first learning. The first four times, you're still learning it for the first time. It's not Chazara until you've learned it four times. So we certainly haven't done that. But here's an interesting thing. In the opening chapters of Sefer Yoshua, Yoshua brings Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael, as we all know. And he crosses the Yarden on the 10th of Nisan. That's what it says in the Pasuk. 10th of Nisan, the whole of Klal Yisrael. I never knew, why don't we have a Yontif? I would have thought, if we're making Yom Tovim, why is there not a Yontif on the 10th of Nisan to celebrate? This was the time that the first time that Klal Yisrael entered Eretz Yisrael. Right? This was a moment, this was an amazing moment. Anyhow, 10th of Nisan, what happens then? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, there's going to be Pesach, right? Four days time. What we need first is Bris Milah. So the whole of Klal Yisrael goes through Bris Milah, because they didn't do it in the Midbar for various reasons. So there's a mass Bris Milah, followed by a mass Korban Pesach. All this in the first few days of entering Eretz Yisrael. What are they eating? They can't yet eat me'avur ha'aretz. They can't yet eat because it's chodosh. It's the produce of the land before the omer. The omer can only be brought when? On the 16th. On the second day of Pesach, you can bring the korban omer. And we're still on the 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th. What are they eating? So the posuk says they're still eating mon. The mon lasted, the posuk says, the mon lasted until they could eat from the new produce on the 16th. Okay. So they bring.
Didn't have any produce in the Midbar.
Now in the Midbar they had mon, and now they came into Eretz Yisrael. There was stuff there they could take from. They could have taken from the Avur Haaretz, the produce of the land, but they couldn't eat from it because it was blocked because of the Issur Chodosh until the 16th. This one, so they're still eating mon. They're in Eretz Yisrael, the last few days of mon. Okay, and then it says. So they did the Pesach, 15th of Nisan, and then says the pasuk as follows: "Vayochlu me'avur ha'aretz mimocharas ha'Pesach." Right? On the second day of Pesach, they started eating bread from the produce of Eretz Yisrael, matzos v'koli, vayishbos ha'mon mimocharas. And the next day there was no mon. That was it. That was the end of the mon. As soon as they could eat from the local produce. Okay, that's a very interesting pasuk. In Sefer Yeshua, chapter 5, Pasuk 12. What's this got to do with anything? We find a very interesting Gemara in Megillah Daf Tezayin, where the Gemara there is looking at the Pasuk, Vayika Haman es alavush ves asus, right? Haman takes the horse, the king's horse, and the levush, and he goes to find Mordechai in order to take him to the streets and say, Kacha yas al-ish, right? We all know that story. Says the Gemara, Haman goes looking for Mordechai, and he finds Mordechai. What's Mordechai doing? What's Mordechai doing? Of course, what Mordechai is doing, he's teaching Torah. He's teaching. So what's he teaching? The Gemara says. Anyone remember what he's teaching? He's teaching Menachos. He happens to be, maybe it's Daf Yomi. He's in the middle of Masechus in Menachos. And what's he teaching? He's teaching Kemitza. Kemitza is the handful of flour, the fistful. It's only a few grains of flour of a kemitza. And that's what the Gemara says. Rashi adds a very interesting comment here. Rashi says, Doresh be'inyono shel yom. That Muhammad, that Mordechai, why was he teaching Menachos and Korah? Because it was, so Rashi learns, I'm sorry, just to get you into the chronology. Haman makes the decree on the 13th of Nisan, right? When he makes a decree, or Mordechai yodas kol asher nasa, he hears about it, goes and runs to Esther. Esther says, "V'tzumo alai atoko atish v'shloshes yomim." Right? Not to fast. What were the 3 days according to Rashi? There's a bit of a debate about this. According to Rashi, the 3 days were the 14th, the 15th, and the 16th of Nisan. And the Gemara says explicitly that the takana of Haman and Esther was to cancel mitzvahs achilas matzah and mitzvahs. Oneg Yontov, Pesach was cancelled. I mean, Pesach wasn't cancelled in terms of the Yisurin, there was still Yisur Chometz and everything, but the mitzvah's assay of eating matzah and drinking arbakosis, if they had already the Takanos HaChomer of arbakosis, I'm not sure, but they certainly, matzah, they were mevatel mitzvah's assay of matzah, in order to fulfill these ta'anesim. Why they couldn't wait a few days? Okay, that's another question. They could have declared the ta'anes after Yontov, and yeah, that's a whole issue, but it's clear from this Gemara, that there was something about the segula of Yontov, and this is crucial to this Dvar Torah, there was something about the spiritual koyach of Yontov, which was going to help them get rid of Haman. Exactly how this works is a bit of a longer story, but Mordechai understood that he's going to be mevatel Pesach in order to be mekayim these ta'anesim. It is what Chazal call a hayroas shah. Right, that a posek has the ability, like Eliyahu Hanavi brings korbonos at Har HaKarmel, even though it's also to bring korbonos anywhere outside Yerushalayim, it was a hayra'as shah. Like Shlomo HaMelech decides to make a party through Yom Kippur, and he cancels Yom Kippur in order to inaugurate the bais in the first base of Mikdash. There are classic examples of hayra'as shah in the Tanakh. This is one of them. Mordechai cancels Pesach in order to mekayim the ta'anesim of Esther, in order to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be saved from Haman. Says Rashi, that because it was the 16th of Nisan, Because so how does this work exactly? So the first day of the Talis was the 14th. On the 15th, Esther goes and says to Ahasuerush, I want you today for Mishne Yayin. That's on the 15th. And then on the night after the 15th, he can't sleep, right? And the next day on the 16th is the second Mishne Yayin, and Haman taking Mordechai through the streets, and Haman getting hung. He gets killed on the 16th of Nisan. Okay? So that's what Rashi says. Rashi says, this is now the 16th of Nisan. Why is it that Mordechai is teaching Kemitza? Because Dorish bin Yonah shel Yom. Don't forget, incidentally, background here, that this is one of the early Dorus where they didn't have the Beis HaMikdash. For 1,000 years they had a Beis HaMikdash, and now suddenly they're in Golus. And it's only about 70 years since the Churban, right? And so they still can remember the Korbanos were still very very live in people's minds, and therefore on the second day of Pesach, what they were thinking about, they were thinking about Korban Ha'ima. So Mordechai is teaching, right? And the Shalom appoints for Seilu, if he can't bring the Korban Ha'ima, he will learn the Torah of Korban Ha'ima. That's what he's doing. And then the Gemara says that Mordechai makes this statement, that Haman makes this statement, your little fistful of kemitzah has outweighed my aseres alofin kikar kesef. As I offered Ahasuerush an absolute, incredible sum of money. Aseres alofin kikar kesef is an absolutely, it's almost incalculable sum of money. Remember, incidentally, that with the chatzi shekel that Klal Yisrael gave in the midbar, 600,000 chatzi shekels added up to 100 kikar kesef. Right, there was 100 kikar kesef, was 600,000 chatzi shekels of Klal Yisrael. That was only 100 kikar kesef, and he was offering 10,000 kikar kesef. So you can imagine what sort of wealth this was. And your little few grains of the Korban Ema has outweighed my... Haman already had a premonition that he was finished, that he indeed was going to be killed on that day. Haman is going to die on the day of the Korban Ha'omer, and he knew somehow that the koyach of the Korban Ha'omer, even though it was almost an infinitesimally small item, it's a few grains of thing, but it was done in the Shem Shamayim, the koyach of that mitzvah outweighed all his wealth. Okay, I'm now going to join the dots a little bit, and you'll see the Gaonus of the Vilna Gaon. He says, this event was predicted 1,000 years earlier. Right? 1,000 years earlier, Yeshua is crossing the Yarden, comes into Eretz Yisrael, Klal Yisrael have the Mom, right? And then on the 16th of Nisan, it's the end of the Mom, and they can start eating Me'avur Ha'oretz. So now the Vilna Gaon learns as follows: Vayochlu me'avor ha'oretz marchas ha'pesach matzas kalei. And now listen carefully: Vayishbois Haman. The pasuk says Vayishbois Haman b'macharas. Says the Vilna Gaon Vayishbois Haman. This was the 16th of Nisan, which in the future would be the death knell of Haman's life. He was going to be destroyed, and this is the death of Amalek. Bekayach was already 1,000 years earlier. The positive of Yishbo's Haman, the Mon ended. He says, wait a minute, Yishbo's Haman is. So, this is a most amazing connection, which I like very much. I hope you enjoy as much as I do. There's something about. Okay, this needs a lot more a deeper understanding. What is it exactly about the Korban Omer, which somehow is the antidote to the Koyach of Amalek? That's what this Torah is all about. Why is it? Okay, that needs a bit more different perush. I haven't got time for that today. But certainly this connection, where Yishbos Haman Mimacharas, in Sefer Yeshua chapter 5, verse 12, contains a remez of the destruction of Haman approximately 1,000 years later. Now let's talk a little bit about breaking... 10 minutes I've got? 10 minutes. Okay. Bez Hashem, 3 weeks' time, everybody's doing his Lel Seder. Yachatz, we break the middle matzah. What is that about? Okay, let's go through this very briefly, because there's one or two very, very fascinating things, something to really talk about a little bit of the say tonight. First of all, Mitzad HaDin, where does this come from? So, the Chazal Darshan, the Pasuk in Devarim chapter 16, which says, Shivas Yomim Tochal Olav Matzos Lechem Oimi. Right, the Torah in one place in Devarim, incidentally, in Shemais, he doesn't call it Lechem Oimi. In Devarim, the matzahs are called Lechem Oimi. And what does Oimi mean? So Oimi's got lots of different levels of meaning, right? So one level, the Chazal say Oimim comes from the word La'anois, Lechem She'Oimim all over Devarim Harba, you say the Magid over the matzah because of Lechem Oimi. But the important thing for Yachat is that the Gemara there, the Gemara in Psochim, Kuf Tesvav, says, Ma'darko Shaloni Beprusa, right? Avkan Beprusa. What does that mean? An Oni rarely eats a whole loaf of bread. Even if he gets a whole loaf of bread, he'll put half away for later because he's not sure what's going to be tomorrow. So an Oni, it's a simon anius to break the bread and have half of it and to put the other half away. This is an akium of the posuk lechem oni. That is the halachic poshut pshat of yachatz. Let's first say what is the. This is the aleph base of yachatz. The aleph base, right? This actually also is the origin of our minhag. Actually, not like the Rambam. That's a whole different story. The Rambam holds you only have two matzahs on Seder night, but we have three matzahs on Seder night. Why? Because Rashi and Tosfos take the view that on Seder night, like all Yomim Tovim, you need Lechem Mishneh. You need two Shleimim to be Mekayim Sudas Yontov Lechem Mishneh. And since you've broken one of them to be Mekayim the Mitzvah of Lechem only Afu Beprusa, therefore you need two others to be a Shleimim. And therefore, as we all know, when we make the Bracha, Alachinas Matzah, Ramayt Lechem in Aretz, what do we have? We have two Shleimim for Lechem Mishneh, and a Chatzi Matzah for Lechem Oini, and we do it all together. What to say the bracha on? That's a whole Tosfos there, a whole discussion between the Rishonim. Do you make Achilas Matzah on this one? And I'm not going to go into that for the moment. That's a separate issue. A Kolponim. That is the beginning of it. The second reason for the Yachatz is connected to the fact that on Seder night we actually have two mitzvahs of Achilas Matzah. One is the first kazayis of the evening, and one is the last kazayis of the evening. Right? These are two different mitzvahs. Right? There is the alachilas matzah and there's the afikamen. Right? And both of them are a kiyum mitzvah achilas matzah. And some of you might know that actually is a very interesting machlokes rishonim. Which one of these two is the mitzvah, is the real kiyum mitzvah? We take it for granted that the first kazayis is the kiyum mitzvah, and that's the Rambam. And that Afikomen is more or less of a minhag zecher to the Korban Pesach. Rashi and the Rashbam and other Rishonim don't hold like that at all. They hold that the Ikka mitzvah of Achilas Matzah on Seder night is the last kazayis. That's the Ikka mitzvah, that says Rashi and the Rashbam. The last kazayis. Many people, by the time it gets to Afikomen, they're already oismensch. They're already finished. They don't take the Afikomen seriously. But if you look in the Rishonim, the Afikomen could be, according to Rashi and the Rashbam, that is the Ikka mitzvah, Achilas Matzah. Right? This is, not everybody is familiar with this din, but it's certainly worthwhile knowing. And therefore what? The last kazayis of matzah also has to be Shmura matzahs. Don't forget, we have ordinary matzahs and Shmura matzahs. Shmura matzahs, incidentally, are not more kosher, you understand. Hopefully all your matzahs are kosher at Pesach, right? The Shmura matzahs are the Shein mitzvahs matzah. Right, they're made l'shem mitzvah. So if a person is saying short of shmura matzahs, right, he has to break it. So for lechem mishnah, to be kind of the mitzvah of lechem mishnah for the suda, you don't need shmura matzahs, not really. You can use regular matzahs. You only need shmura matzahs when you're doing what? The kiyum ha-mitzvah of achilas matzah. When are you doing that? The first kazayis and the last kazayis. And therefore there is the minhag to break it in half, you've got the shmura matzah, to make sure that at the end of the meal, you'll have another kazayis of shmura matzah left. Because it could be during the meal, you might finish it all. You might eat it all. So you put it away, you hide it away, tzofon, hidden away. Why? To make sure that you've got shmura matzah for the end of it. The truth is, with the way we live nowadays, we've got boxes and boxes of the stuff, that this is not such a big hashash, right? You're usually drowning in Shemura Matzah by the time you get halfway through Pesach. I don't know what to do with it all. But in earlier times, it wasn't like that. The Shemura Matzahs were mamash counted. It didn't have so many Shemura Matzahs. And therefore, Yachatzi has got a very important practical level. Practical meaning. So that is, so one of the first thing is Oni Prusa, and the other one is the... Okay, time is running away with me. I have to give you my most interesting and beautiful Peirush. So first of all, it's important to know that the Rishonim already, the Orchas Chaim and the Rishonim, referred to our three matzahs as a remez to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and incidentally, the four kosas to the Imahos, to the Arba Imahos. And there are lots of interesting Peirushim about why each kos is one of the Imahos. Each kos is unique to one of the Imahos. And the three matzahs are the Ovos and the Imahos. Right. So with that in mind, there's an amazing Gemara in Shabbos Peites on the Beis, which I don't have time to go through completely. I'm not even sure what time I'm supposed to stop here. Don't worry about it. Okay. In other words, we're on a Sunday schedule, right?
That's
it. Okay. That's what he said. Okay. So I'll just give me another 3 or 4 minutes and I'll just finish up this Gemara. It's worth looking it up. Gemara Shabbos Peites on the Beis. Darshan's a positive in Yeshaya. I won't go into the moment. Where it's mashma that the Osid Lovoi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is going to consult the Ovois what to do with Klal Yisrael who are Avaryonim. What is he going to do with those members of Klal Yisrael who haven't remained loyal to Torah and Mitzvahs? What's going to be with them? And the Gemara there says, consults Avraham, and Avraham says, look, if they're Avaryonim, they have to suffer the consequences. He consults Yaakov, and Yaakov says, look, what can we do? People who are Avaryonim. That's it. They have to pay the price. And then he consults Yitzchak. And it's amazing, because you would have thought Yitzchak is Midas Hadin. Yeah. Yitzchak turns around and says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, Bonecho Chotuli. Your children have sinned. To which Yitzchak says, Bonai v'loi bonecha? What do you mean, my children? They're your children. Bnei b'chayri Yisrael. Yitzchak becomes the counsel for the defense of Klal Yisrael Osid Lovoi par excellence. And there's a whole dialogue there, which is way worth knowing. It says, how many Averis could they have done already? Right? A person only lives a certain amount of years. When he's young, he's irresponsible. Half the time he's sleeping, he's eating. How much can he have done? Only a certain amount. You can go through the Gemara there, makes a cheshbon. How many Averis could a person have done, even if he's doing Averis all the time? He says, you know what? Palga olai, upalga olecha. You and me, says Yitzchak to the Rebbeinu Shlolem in Chazal. We are going to divide up the culpability for this. I'll take half, and you'll take half, right? And incidentally, he says, on my half, I've already offered myself as a korban on the Akedah, and therefore I've already paid off my half. And between the two of us, we're going to clear the account. We're going to clear the account. Incidentally, what does it mean? One of the Mefarshim says, what does it mean, pal golai, pal golecha? This is based on a Gemara in Brachas Yudzayin, where the Gemara there says that one of the Amoraim davened, Ritzoneinu lasas ritzoncho. Umi ma'akev, sa'or sheba iso v'shibud golias. In other words, the two main causes for Klal Yisrael to do Averis is sa'or sheba iso, which means the inner drive of the Eitzahara, with which we were created. And shibud golias is not the pnimius, but the chitzonius is the external environment in which we live. The influence of the goyim, either the persecution of the goyim or the culture of the goyim. So what does it mean, pal golai, pal golecho? So I saw one of the mafarshim, he says, pal golecho means, Yitzchak saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to take responsibility for the Eitzahara. You created the Eitzahara, so that's your fault. Vis-a-vis the Shibud Malchias, so I take responsibility for Esav and Amalek. Esav and Amalek are the main negative influences on Klal Yisrael. So Yitzchak takes responsibility for Ba'achris Hayomim, for the completion of the Geula, that even those people who have not remained loyal to Klal Yisrael can be included in the Geula. Why? Because of Yitzchak's counsel for the defense, Pal Golai, Pal Golecho, comes to say the night that we are celebrating the Geula, Right? The middle matzah is Yitzchak. If the three matzahs is Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, the middle matzah is Yitzchak. We break the matzah, palga olai, or palga olech. Palga olai, or palga olech means I'll take half, and you take half. And I was saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course we know in Klal Yisrael there are, unfortunately, avarionim, and everybody has got certain things they're maybe not so proud of, but we all want to be included in the Geula, and we need the Torah of Yitzchak, that we need Yitzchak to be the defense, the counsel for the defense, in order to protect us, and breaking the matzah in half is not only lechem oni, and it's not only a shmura matzah for the afikomen at the end, it's also a remez to Yitzchak Avinu, and the completion of the geula. I wish you all, Baruch Hashem, we should have a chafash of a sameach, and we should be zeicher to see the geula shalem of Meher of Yomein.